talk about a common question. What happens to the souls of people who have committed suicide? As I say, this is a common question, particularly when someone we know and care for has committed suicide. We may have been told hard, judgmental things regarding suicide, and often we don't question these statements at all until the issue hits close to home. Then we find some of those ideas just a bit hard to swallow. Our inner feelings tell us that a loving and kind God would certainly be aware of the despair that our friend was feeling. Surely God would forgive. Yet the words that we hear from others, oftentimes people that we think should know, they don't always agree. We look for comfort, and where do we turn? We can turn to the Bible, God's Word. How does God view suicide? Does God send the soul to be tormented in a burning hell? Does God turn his back and write off the soul as lost forever? Does God overlook the suicide and receive the soul into heaven? First of all, we need to know that every soul is very precious to God. Job said in Job 12, chapter 12, verse 10, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing?" God creates each human soul to give us an opportunity to learn of God, to keep his commandments, and to put on immortality. What happens to the souls of people who commit suicide? Well, as with any other soul, it really depends on the choices that he or she had made during his or her life. We must all remember that we cannot judge another person's choices, nor can we judge what's going on in someone else's mind. Matthew 7:1 says, "Judge not." A person who has never sought for God in any way, for example, have not even tried to do things righteously, didn't try to be honest or kind, that soul will perish, according to Psalm 1, verse 6. A person who has come to a full knowledge of truth, God's truth, and then rejects it and chooses evil, will also perish, as we're told in John 3:16, that the choice is really between life eternal or perishing. This is the same as a tomato. If the tomato is removed from the vine and not preserved, it too will perish. It will not burn forever. It won't be tormented in a fiery hell. It will perish. It's the same with a person. This isn't conditional on the method by which a person dies. A person who has had the opportunity but does not choose God in some way during their life will perish, regardless of whether they die in an accident, of old age, or by suicide. Only God can judge the spiritual condition of a soul and know his or her final decisions. Psalm 75:7 says, "God is the judge." On the other hand, there are many people to whom God can show mercy. A person who has sought God during his or her life, for example, by trying to do things righteously, by trying to love others, might still be a very troubled person, troubled by thoughts or feelings of failure, hopelessness, maybe thoughts of being unloved. These thoughts can be likened to a train. First comes the engine, then several cars, and finally the caboose. Suicide is the caboose of this train of thought. It comes after many other cars which carry messages such as, "I can never do anything right," or, "I might as well give up," or, "They would be better off without me," or, "Nobody ever pays me any attention. I'll show them." These ultimately lead to the thought that says, suicide's the way out. God is well aware that people are subject to harmful thoughts. God also knows that if we are not taught how to have power over a thought, the thought may overpower us. We may get tricked. We may agree with a thought that convinces us that ending our life is the best solution to the problem at hand. God's judgment of man is always based on the knowledge that a person has to work with. Romans 2:2 tells us that the judgment of God is according to truth, however much truth of God we have within our mind. If a person has not been given the tools of discernment or the power of grace to overpower an evil thought, God can show the person mercy. God is more merciful toward our mistakes than mankind is toward one another. Read in Psalm 103, verses 6 through 18, for quite a list of scriptures showing how God is merciful. God can seal or preserve a soul who dies as a result of suicide, just the same way he can preserve any soul that has sought him. But that soul that does not yet have access to God's discernment and grace. In Malachi 3:16, God refers to this as a book of remembrance. It's for those souls who choose God, but live prior to the time when a power of grace was made available to mankind. That would have been at the time of Christ, as we read in John 1:17, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So, Matthew 7:1 told us, judge not, that ye be not judged. We don't know the condition of any soul. Proverbs 29:26 says, every man's judgment cometh from the Lord. God is the one that knows why someone has done whatever it is that they have done, including suicide. Romans 2:2 tells us, but we're sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. We can't judge what information someone had, what knowledge they had to work with, but God knows. Psalm 103 verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, so God can show mercy to us, even to someone that has committed suicide. Psalm 136 verse 2 says, oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. God is much more merciful than mankind is one to another. So let's look at different biblical accounts, different suicide attempts that were in the Bible, and how God handled those. First of all, let's go to Mark 9, verses 17 through 27. We see the account of the boy that had the dumb spirit. A man brought his son to Jesus because an evil spirit had entered into the boy when he was a child, and this evil spirit would make him jump into the fire and into the waters to try to destroy him. Now, an observer of our day might conclude that the boy was trying to commit suicide. To Jesus and the Jews of his day, it was obviously an evil spirit controlling the boy. Jesus was the first one ever recorded to have the power to cast out evil spirits. Jesus did not condemn the boy. He had compassion on him and his family, and Jesus cast out the spirit. Scriptures teach us that the thoughts and feelings are spirit. In John 6:63, Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit. And in Galatians 5:22, we have a whole list of fruits or phases of God's spirit, such as love, joy, peace. So words and fruits, feelings, can be, are made up of spirit. These could be evil or good. Thoughts and feelings, which is spirit, could be either one, good or evil. But the boy in this account was plagued with evil thoughts. Jesus discerned those and cast them out by grace. Many children today are plagued with similar evil thoughts and feelings, and those get them to do things that are self-destructive. God wants to make the same discernment and the grace power available to people today so that suicide thoughts can again be cast out. Well, let's look at another account, that of Judas Iscariot. Judas was chosen by Jesus to be one of the 12 apostles. Jesus taught all the apostles how to use the power of grace to stop sin. We can read about that in Matthew 9:6 and in 10:1. He gave them power over unclean spirits. Toward the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, we read in John 13:2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Judas decided to yield his mind to this betrayal thought from the devil. Again, we see Satan, the devil, having a hand in messing up a person's mind so that he or she will make wrong decisions. We read in Matthew 27, verses 2 through 5, after this happened, then Judas, when he saw that Jesus was condemned, repented himself, saying, I have sinned, and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. Judas repented of his deed, but he could not live with what he knew he had done. Betraying Jesus was a willing sin. It was built on greed. Christ could have cast out this betrayal spirit, but Judas forsook him and betrayed him. He then sought repentance too late, and his soul was lost eternally. Let's go to another example, the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament. Jonah was a prophet of God, and God told him to speak to the people of Nineveh. Jonah was disobedient to God, choosing instead to get on a ship and travel in the opposite direction. Disobedience is caused by an evil spirit, as we're told in Ephesians 2:2. It's called a spirit of disobedience. This spirit caused a condition of hell in Jonah's mind. He knew what God wanted him to do, and he didn't do it. According to James 4:17, that's sin. God sent a great storm. Jonah confessed he was the cause of the trouble. Jonah said, "Cast me into the sea." He knew that if he died, the condition of hell that was going on in his mind would cease. Did God turn his back on Jonah? Did God write him off as lost forever? After all, Jonah was attempting to commit suicide. No, God showed mercy. He sent a great fish to prevent Jonah from drowning. While Jonah was in the belly of the fish, he had time to think things over. He repented of his disobedience. Later, the fish deposited Jonah on the shore, and Jonah went to preach to Nineveh. For the last Bible example, let's look at Job. God told Satan in Job 1:12, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand." Satan did his dirty work. Job began to despair. He wanted to die, even wishing that he'd never been born in Job chapter 3. Job expressed his evil thoughts and feelings, but he didn't follow through on them, even when his wife suggested suicide as a way to get out of his misery in Job 2:9. God knew that Job had spoken without knowledge. Read that in Job 38:2. God didn't turn his back on Job. God was long-suffering with Job's evil thoughts, and when Job finally repented of his self-righteousness, God was able to bless him abundantly. Read about that in Job 42. So what lessons do we get from these examples? Self-destructive thoughts are evil spirits. They enter into children as they're growing up. Children are not born with these thoughts already in them. Jesus could discern between the soul and the evil spirit that entered into a person's mind. He had grace power to cast out those evil spirits, and he gave that power to his disciples. Once we have the knowledge of the truth and access to the power of grace to overcome evil, we can then make a choice. We can use this truth and power and thus put on immortality, or we can reject it and perish, go out of existence, as did Judas Iscariot. People who attempt suicide are often thinking about the same lines as Jonah. "This is hell. The only way I can see out of it is to kill myself." Well, Jonah was in hell while he was alive. Read Jonah 2:2 for that point. And he wanted to die to get out of hell. Hell is not a place evil people go to after they die. It is a condition of torment in our mind while we're still alive. Some people tell us that suicide condemns a soul to be lost forever because God can't forgive you until you repent, and you can't repent of suicide after you're dead. The story of Jonah shows that God was merciful to Jonah even before he repented. Jonah did not repent until after the fish swallowed him, and he had time to think about his choices. For more on this topic, write us and ask for article number 27. Send to The Word Church, Route 2, Box 137, Moberly, Missouri, 65270. That is The Word Church, Route 2, Box 137, Moberly, Missouri, 65270. Or email us at twmoberly@thewordchurch.org. God had mercy on them. He didn't destroy the city. Jonah decided that made him look like a fool. He prophesied something that didn't come to pass. God's answer to Jonah shows that God is very aware and very forgiving of our inability to discern good from bad. He said, "Should not I spare Nineveh, wherein there are persons that cannot discern between their right and left hand?" God is very merciful.